die woord wat ek ervaar het om vanoggend met ons te deel. So kom uit 'n klomp rigtings uit. Miskien, ek weet nie Marga, jy let op, jy's Engelse mense, so moet ons in Engels wees vanoggend. Maybe from Dave, are we in English this morning? Then I'm Dave, better pray for my tongue. So miskien Marga sommer net om by jou aan te sluit. In the week someone asked me, how are you doing? And I said, if I look around me, everything is going very well. But it's not going well with me. And I don't know why. There's no explanation for me. But so I really believe that God is taking us to a place of weakness that we haven't known before, that we can truly depend upon Him. And I think many of us is experiencing how we've been walking in our own strength many times. And God don't want us there. And I think for me as well, God is taking me to a place of weakness where I truly depend upon Him and not about my own skill and whatever I think I have, you know. And may God really find us there where Paul has said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. That's where God wants us. And so I've, in a way, made peace with it, that I'm not feeling this strong and this energetic or whatever we want to feel, but that I do find me at that place that I say, only You, God. It's only You. And I think I feel it. This is what we are going through in society. I said to people in this week, in the past week, the consequences of what COVID has done to the world and individuals, I think is worse than we acknowledge. And we're wrestling with stuff that we don't know why we're wrestling with it. So the first place that the enemy attacks is our homes. And therefore, I'm in this week, I've spoken to people that has decided to go through divorce. I sat with a husband that said his wife is threatening him with this divorce. I've spoken to couples that is in angry and ugly fights. And I've spoken to couples that had breakthrough and is describing their marriage as a new birth. So all of that in one week. And I felt just through that and through the testimony, especially through the one of new birth and breakthrough, that God wants to speak to us about our marriages this morning. And when I prepared, you know, I always tend to want to put in too much in one morning, and I felt God was so maybe just before we start, that what I believe God wants to share this morning is only half the truth. And hopefully in 2 weeks we can share the other half of the truth. Otherwise someone will sit here and say, but what about that? And then we miss what we want to talk about this morning. So hopefully that helps you. That will help you. So I think many of us is busy with that little book, Calvary Road, and somewhere in that book it says that if we want to see revival, we need to see it where it was first broken. And revival or sin came in the family first, amongst Adam and Eve, and then their sons. And if we want to see revival, it should happen in the family first before we see it anyplace else. Otherwise, we're hypocritical. If we want to see it here, but not back home. So this morning is back home, in our homes. And I want to say something, and I'm only going to share on half of it, leading, following, submission in our homes. So we would all acknowledge that submission is a biblical value. It's a biblical truth, it's a belief, it's a lifestyle of submission, and we can take it to many areas of our lives. We know that we need to submit to Christ. It's biblical. We need to submit as citizens to the government. It's biblical. We need to submit as members of a church to leadership. We need to submit as children to our parents, and we need to submit as wives to our husbands. So submission is completely biblical. But how do we struggle with that? And I think all of us, the easiest question would be, how are we doing with submission? And we would have a lot to say, but maybe we should ask, how am I doing with submission? And it would be a bit more difficult to answer. How am I doing with submission? And I think something that I've learned and I was challenged with over the last few months, if I fail to submit where I should submit, I'm failing to submit to Christ. So moet Afrikaans sê, want dis so belangrik hierdie sinnetjie, as ons net met dit weggaan. And that dit challenge my elke dag. As ek sukkel om te submit waar ek moet, I'm also not submitting to Christ. As ek nie submit in my huwelik nie, as ek nie submit aan die government nie, beteken dit ek submit nie aan Christ nie. Ek kan nie sê, dis goed hier, maar dit kan my hier wees soos het wil nie. Both of them is connected. The one is a spiegelbeeld of the other. Is mirroring the other one. So, and that's challenging to me because I struggle to submit. And I think it's, there's clear reasons why we struggle to submit. It is not easy to submit, but that's what we are asking of wives or of children or of citizens. They need to submit to a sinner, not to God. But God is asking that. And our pride and our fears, and many times we have disappointments in the past, and that just fuels our struggle to submit. But as long as we struggle to submit, I think the Spirit of God is escaping us, His anointing, and Him being with us, leading us. What we need for revival in our homes will not be present if we are struggling with submission. So I want to read, we know all the scripture, and maybe you don't want to read it anymore, you've read it too much. And I'm reading from Ephesians 5, verse 21 to 33. Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. And I think a good exercise when we read this is when the scripture speaks to women, the women listen, not the men. And when it speaks to men, men listen and not the women. That helps. Otherwise, you're listening to what your husband should do or what your wife should do, and that's not really helping. Okay, it leads to finger pointing. Maybe you can open up your Bible. I only have it in Afrikaans here. 5:21. Omdat julle respek het vir Christus, moet julle aan mekaar onderdanig wees. Vrouens, julle moet aan julle mans onderdanig wees soos aan die Here. So there we see the link. If we are not submitting to our husbands, it says we are not submitting to Christ. Vice versa. If you're not submitting to Christ, it will be impossible to submit to your husband. Op dieselfde manier wat Christus, vers 23, op dieselfde manier wat Christus hoof is van die kerk, is 'n man hoof van sy vrou. Christus het sulke hoofskap uitgeoefen toe hy die kerk verlos het. Soos die kerk aan Christus onderdanig is, moet julle vroue in alles elkeen aan julle eie man onderdanig wees. Mans, julle moet julle vroue lief hê, net soos Christus die kerk liefgehad het, toe hy sy lewe daarvoor afgelê het, om so die kerk aan God toe te wy, nadat hy die kerk met die water en die woord gereinig het, en so dat hy die kerk in al sy skoonheid voor hom kan stel, nie met enige vlek of plooi of enige ander onsierlikheid nie, maar aan God toegewy en onberispelik. Op hierdie manier moet mans hulle eie vroue lief hê. Hulle moet hulle lief hê asof hulle hulle eie liggame is. 'N man wat sy eie vrou lief het, het dus eintlik homself lief. 'N mens haat mos nie sy liggaam nie, maar versorg en voed dit. Christus maak net so met ons die kerk, omdat ons ledemate van sy liggaam is. Daar staan mos 'n man sal weggaan en sy pa en ma en een word met sy vrou, en hulle twee sal een wees. Dit is eintlik 'n diep geheim en ek noem dit 'n verhouding. Ek noem dit om die verhouding tussen Christus en die kerk te beskryf. Dit geld ook vir julle. Elkeen van julle moet sy eie vrou lief hê soos hy homself lief het, en die vrou moet haar man respekteer. Now obviously we can talk about this for weeks, but I just want to take one angle at that scripture this morning. En ek wil begin om te sê, ek sien die gestoei in ons samelewing, en my hoopelik vanoggend net 'n bietjie lig op het sit. So, dit is 'n Bybelse begeerte, wanneer 'n vrou, 'n Christen leier as 'n man begeer. Can we say it again? It's a biblical desire, if a wife desires a husband leading according to the word of God. It's not a selfish desire. It's a biblical desire. And hopefully, human has that. Christian human has that. But sin in ourselves is destroying the leading and the following. Both of them is destroyed by sin. And I want to speak mostly to women this morning, and hopefully to help you, because I see the struggle and the hardship, and I don't only see it in other marriages. I see it in my own marriage when I do not do this in my own home. I see it in my wife. I see it in my children when I'm not leading as I'm supposed to lead. And we will get to our husbands. How can we help our husbands? Because we need help too. But maybe in the time that our husbands are not leading as they should, what should we as women do? And I want to help you with that. Hopefully it's the word that helps you and God that helps you. So I want to start when Jesus says, why are we starting with you as a wife? It says in Matthew 7, you start with what is in your own eye, the rafter in your eye, before you want to remove the splinter. So this morning, I want to help if there's any rafter in any wife's eye, submitting to her husband to help and remove that. Because then there will be biblical space and opportunity to talk to your husband about it. But as long as we are struggling with that rafter, it will only lead to a fight, nothing else than frustration. And that frustration will grow. So ek wil vrouens aanmoedig om die volgende drie vrae, en ons gaan op die drie vrae uitbrei 'n bietjie, oor die drie vrae te oordink. En die eerste vraag waaroor jy moet dink as 'n vrou, as dit gaan oor jou man se Bybelse leierskap is, how do you pray? So the first question you have to ask yourself is, how do I pray for this? And we'll say something about it now. And secondly, I think I want to ask wives, how teachable are you? Are you teachable? If you want to be led, because just to read it again from, sorry, ek moet net my bril opkry, from Ephesians 5, it's so important. I sat with one husband and he says, you know, I don't have the confidence. I don't know how to open up the word to lead my family. Some husbands find themselves there. How strange it might sound, but this is one of the reasons that husbands struggle to lead. Because in verse 25 it says, mans, julle moet julle vroue lief hê, net soos Christus die kerk lief gehad het, toe hy sy lewe daarvoor gegee het, om so die kerk aan hom toe te wy, nadat hy die kerk met die water en die woord gereinig het, sodat hy die kerk in al sy skoonheid voor God kan stel. It is the responsibility of the husband to open up the word and to wash his family with the word of God. But if you are not teachable, he will not be able to do what you desire. So there is a question to be asked. Are you teachable? First question, how do you pray? Second, are you teachable? And I think a third thing that can help is, do you have sympathy with his struggles? Het jy regtig sympatie en deernis vir jou man se struggle? Ek weet jy kan ons dit maar 'n gesukkel noem. Ons kan seker maar, want ons is baie keer versukkeld. En die vraag is of ons as vrouens kan sympatie met dit hê. En dis die drie vrae wat ek vanoggend net iets oor wil sê. Hopefully not too much. So kom ons maak net oop by Jakobus en dan kyk ons wat sê ou Paulus, hoe moet ons James, hoe moet ons bid? So kom ons maak net vinnig by Jakobus oop. En miskien sit die jeug vanoggend en hulle dink, "Ai, nou moet ek luister na wat vrouens moet doen." Maar miskien vir die jeug en vir die ongetroudes wat hier is dit belangrik om te weet, if you don't prepare for this, you will struggle it with it in marriage. Better prepare before you get there. And how do you prepare for it? Spend time in the word as a man, and as a woman, exercise to submit. Ek wil vir 'n man aanbeveel wat oor sy vrou dink, ek sien Edouan sit hier. If she doesn't submit to government, church and the father, don't marry her, please. Practical. Be practical about it. We as the youth, we need to prepare for marriage. En dit is vir 'n tiener. Wat is so moeilik vir 'n tiener? Life is about me. Life is all about me. And what we need to exercise as a teenager is that we are thinking of someone else. We have a heart for someone else. As Johnny and Yusha and Christoph is doing that, they are preparing themselves for marriage. So may God help us as teenagers to prepare. Don't end up in marriage like I did. It's a nightmare for both. Huwelik is natuurlik die enigste plek waar al twee wen of al twee verloor. Shall we remember that? Sometimes we fight in marriage as if we can win and the other person will lose. If one lose, both lose. Dis van die min plekke. And therefore there is no place for competition. There's no place for competition. Waar we ons lees Jakobus 4 vanaf vers 2 tot 3. Julle wil dinge hê wat julle nie het nie en pleeg dan moord om dit te kry. Ons daarom nog nie in die huwelike so ver nie. Julle is jaloers oor wat ander het en as julle dit nie in die hande kan kry nie, veg en beklei julle om dit by hulle te vat. Eintlik is die rede hoekom julle nie het wat julle wil hê nie, die feit dat julle God nie daarvoor vra nie. En selfs wanneer julle vra, kry julle dit nie, omdat julle motiewe verkeerd is. Julle wil goed hê net om dit self te geniet. Tough scripture. So there's two things that can help us as women. How do we pray? And the first is, do we pray about it? Is that the first place we are going with our frustration of biblical leadership in our homes? Or do we talk about it, fight about it, and have this mind going around and around and around and around until we're mad about it? And God wants us to invite us to pray about it. To pray about it. And the second thing in verse 3 is, what is the motive for this? What is the motive? And maybe that takes a lot of thinking and praying that God should really show you what is your motive. Is it just your selfish desire? Maybe you think, if he exercise biblical leadership, you'll think like I think. It's selfish. So the reason that James is describing here is your motive is selfish. And ask God, maybe you are praying and you're praying a lot about this. But what is your desire? Why is it there? And I just try to think about it. And een van die redes, I sat with someone in the week and I said, marriage is for holiness, not for happiness. Marriage is for holiness. Happiness is the fruit of holiness. It comes as a product as we allow God to change us. Why did I say that? So if we have biblical leadership, we have less dying to self. So it could be, I'm just praying for biblical leadership, not for the honor of God through our marriage or that we would be reflecting God's bride and Jesus Christ, but then it would just be an easier life. It would be an easier life. But is that the desire? Is that the motive why we are praying? His thoughts maybe would be as my thoughts. And I just want to leave it with us. I'm sometimes struggling with this myself. But within a biblical framework, how we do things can differ and both can be right. And this brings us to the asking of our teachability as wives. Is can we accept biblical leadership that is right but different to our ideas or our thinking? And that is asking for teachability, that we should be teachable as our husband leads different to what we think. Just reminding our wives this morning that we are asking God, is there anything in my own eye that you want to remove first? That's why we're asking these questions to the wives. Because all of them are sitting here and say, when are you going to talk to the men? And now we're not going to talk to the men this morning. We are trying to bring hope and tools in the hand of women and wives that is struggling in their marriages and wanting biblical headship leading them. And as we've started in the beginning, that is a godly desire. Dis 'n goddelike begeerte wat jy het. Don't let go of it. Let us pray right. Ask God to give us the right motives. Ask God that we would be praying and not fighting and talking about things. So how teachable are we? And many times in our hearts, there's just a resistance to be taught by someone else. We're living in an age like that. That our age is no one tells no one nothing. I decide myself. And our own pride is just resisting that leadership of our husbands from time to time. Now we're really willing. And maybe, you know, there's so many scriptures. If husbands do use scripture for selfish gain, if husbands use scripture for selfish gain, please ask me for help, or your friend, or your couple that you are walking in accountability. That is not biblical. That is not godly. And husbands shouldn't do that. So if that is happening, that 2 Timothy 3:16, which says that the word is good for reproof and correction and training and teaching, if it's used, if Ephesians 5 is used by husbands for selfish gain in our homes, we need to talk about it as couples. But so my question for this morning for a wife would be, is how are you reacting when your husband is leading and bring correction to you, brings teaching to you, brings guidance to you? How is your reaction? Because that will give him the confidence and the freedom to continue or to pull back. What is your reaction in that? And it's only God that can help us with that. So the first question, how do you pray? And the second question is, how teachable are you in situations? And our third thing, I just want to say something about is, if our wives can have sympathy for our husbands struggling with this biblical leadership. And I just want to mention a few reasons why husbands are struggling. Because we are struggling. And why I'm going to sympathy is I've listened to Brett's word of last week, and if you wasn't here, please listen to it. It was so beautiful to see God's heart in Exodus 34, His love and patient and compassionate. This is who God is. And Jesus is one of His main characters is that He's compassionate. And if you as a wife wants to be Christ-like in your marriage, have compassion with the struggle of your husband to lead you biblically as a family. Have compassion for that. So maybe you're sitting this morning, you're sitting here, and you're looking at your heart is pure. You really desire a husband that is leading you biblical. I'm gonna ask you to have compassion for his struggle. Compassion just means that you are putting yourself in the other person's shoes. And the number one reason I think, or one of the first reason I want to mention why men are struggling to lead, we see it right through society. Men are struggling to lead, and the reason for that is the whole culture is anti. It's resisting the leadership of men. All over, it's shooting down a Bible. Ephesians 5 will fly nowhere in society, nowhere. It will be shot down, and your husband is bombarded with that day in and day out. Not only in the physical and in the news and the media, but amongst men and amongst the social media, but also by the enemy. He is spiritually attacked in the age that we are living. I assume it's been like that for all ages. But so in society, this is not accepted. So that's the first reason I would say have compassion for him. The second is, in the time that we are living, there's so many voices of what is biblical. And I myself sometimes struggle, so how would I lead my family here? What is biblical in this situation? Which way should we go? And me as a husband has to hear God, have time with Him, know the Word of God. But it's not easy to know exactly how to lead in this age. There's so many opinions and so many voices. It's tough. Clarity is not easy at the moment. Have compassion for that. And I think many of us as husbands, wat is die Engels vir onbevoeg en onbekwaam? We have that feeling of we are not capable. And we do not want to look incapable in front of the people that is most important in our lives. It's all right if you're incapable amongst people that you don't care about. But you don't want to be incapable and look incapable. So, and there's many reasons why we feel incapable. Many times we didn't have a good example. No one has taught us these things, showed us these things. Maybe we've received the theory over and over, but we've never been in practical presence of people who's living this. And that's why we need stronger community and less teaching. We need, can I say that again, please, for our community? We need less teaching and more community. We need to see it as husbands. We've heard it so many times. I presume there's no husband here that hasn't heard over and over and being equipped with skills and information of how to lead as a husband. But until we've seen it and we've been imparted through example, we feel incapable. And I want to encourage our wives just to have compassion for that. And I want to say this is not excuses. We don't want to use this as excuses. This is genuine. We are struggling with this. And maybe a last question that you can think about as a wife is, do you really desire to be against culture and to be a submitting wife? Do you really want that? Is it a biblical desire in your heart that this is what I want? Because it's in the Word. It is what God wants. I want to be as submitting as the bride to Christ. I want that same submission to my own husband. Is that a real desire in your heart? And only God can help you to see that. Because sometimes we see things, say things, but it's not genuine in our hearts. Is it a genuine desire to submit to a husband who leads through the Spirit and is humble as Jesus? This is the husbands we desire. And I want to say to husbands, there's very few women that doesn't want to follow a husband who's led by the Spirit and is walking humility. You will really find a woman who does not submit to that. And I want to encourage men this morning, and I want to ask wives to test their heart with these two things. Is your wife would rather hear your simple prayer than eloquent prayers of people on social media? She would prefer that, to hear how you pray and ask God to lead you as a husband and as a family. She desires that simple, genuine for your family. She would prefer you as a husband to open up the Word. You don't need a degree. You don't need to be a teacher of the Bible. Just to open up the Word, read it together, and just ask simple questions. What does it say about God? What does it say about me? What does it say about other people? And how can we obey that? She desires that more than preaching and teaching over the internet and fancy meetings and things. She wants that because as you open up the Word, all of your hearts are connected to Jesus. And you as a family are connected together. So I want to ask wives, how are you communicating your desire to pray together, your desire to read the Word together? How are you communicating that? And we know, I want to encourage you, that truth and love goes together. Giving Him truth will not change it. If you are struggling in your marriage at the moment with this, it's not going to change overnight. It will take some time, but God can change it. As Marga said this morning, we need to come to a place where we are completely dependent upon God, because only He can do it. How our husbands react to this morning, we can do nothing about. Whether we are reacting in humility and seeking God, or whether we are resisting a word concerning our leadership as husbands, you as a wife can do nothing about that. That's between him and God. But ask God, how are you communicating about this with your husband? And where is your own heart in this? And I think the summary for me of just this morning's word, if you as a wife is causing stumbling blocks for your husband to lead, you can remove them and focus on that and do that. Remove the stumbling blocks that you may cause or may not. If you're not, praise God. Let's trust God that us as husbands will take up this role better and better in the future. We need to start in our homes for what we want to see in community, in our church. So ask God to show you if there's any stumbling block that you are causing for your husband to lead. And maybe, dis bang as ons al by trappe uitstap, vergeet ons, so maybe we gaan nou, ons gaan nou net twee na mekaar te draai. And just share, what have you heard? If you have to help another woman that's struggling with this, what are you going to help her with? And just before you start, ek hoop ek onthou self, is asking the question, how are you praying? Now, are you praying? What's your motive when you're praying? And secondly, are you teachable? And thirdly, do you have compassion for your husband and the struggle that he's going through to lead biblically? Maybe you've heard other things. I can't think of anything else quickly. But and maybe if you are causing stumbling blocks, ask God to show you the stumbling blocks. Remove that. That's what you can do. We cannot change someone else. So maybe let us take two minutes or 3 minutes and share with one another. What have you heard this morning? What are you taking away this morning?
Mag ek wil sommer net gou deel, terwyl ons saam gebid het, die Here sommer net iets in my gees kom sit vir ons as vroue, en ek ervaar partykeer in my eie lewe ook. Ons wil partykeer ons mans met ons woorde vir hulle sê, dis hoe jy moet maak, dis wat jy wil doen, want ons soek daai goddelike man. Maar partykeer wil die Here net van ons as vroue hê om soft en quiet te wees en in ons binnekamer net vir hom te bid. So miskien is dit vir iemand.
Dankie, Corine. So, Vader, dankie dat ons vanoggend Here op 'n stuk heilige grond kom staan as ons by die huwelik stil staan, Here. U voorbeeld om die lewe neer te lê, Here, daag ons as man so uit. Maar terselfdertyd moedig het ons aan, Here. Ons begeerte is om te sien hoe dat ons bruid ook skoon en gereed en mooi voor u staan. So, Here, in die plek waar ons veronderstel is om die grootste blessing en vreugde en vrede en sekuriteit te ervaar in ons huwelike, Here, is ook die plek waar ons partykeer die grootste pyn ervaar. And therefore this morning, Lord, we just come before you and ask for your help, Lord. We are too weak to give one step in the right direction, Lord. We need you to strengthen us, to guide us, to direct us, Lord, to lead us through your Spirit. We need you, Father, to change our hearts, to be humble, to be pure, to be loving, Lord, to be compassionate as you are. I pray, Father, that you will give us new compassion for one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I pray this morning for every wife that is sitting here, Lord, with that biblical desire and biblical longing, Lord, of godly leadership. And I pray this morning, Father, that you will strengthen them to pray, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will humble them to be teachable. I pray, Father, that you will give them compassion and in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that they do not desire fireworks, but simple, genuine following of Jesus and leading as a family to them. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you choose simple men when you chose the apostles, Lord, and that all of us is able to lead as men, Lord, as you desired and you designed. And Father, I pray this morning that you will protect our mind, our hearts, our lifestyle, Lord, against the world and the enemy that wants to destroy every difference that you have created. Thank you, Lord, that this is not about value, but about the different roles that you have given to us. Help us to joyful with faith. Continue your design and your pattern, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for revival in our homes as you help us to follow your design. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, amen.